Back in the spring of 1996, I was over in Austria for the semester studying German. I was in the process of doing my own doctoral studies, and I was there at the study abroad program for Franciscan University in Austria. And they, every semester, and even to this time, they still go for 10 days to Rome and Assisi. Being we're a Franciscan order, they get to go, they see Rome, they see Assisi. And this particular spring, I went with them, and on the campus, and they still have this as well, there was a catechetical institute that had about, at that time, maybe 20 students in it that were from the Eastern Bloc countries, because the Berlin Wall had come down just 6 years earlier. And what we were attempting to do is catechize young people from the Eastern Bloc countries to then go back and share the good news on the other side of what was at one time the Iron Curtain. And we all went down to Rome, and it just so happened this little group of these students, about 20 of them, was able to get a private mass with Pope John Paul II. And being one of the chaplains, I was able to go in and celebrate mass with the Holy Father. And I didn't know what to expect. Meeting the Vicar of Christ, it was a big build-up for me, of course. This is the successor of Peter. This is a world traveler. By this point, he had made several trips here to the United States already, and big impact across the whole world. But when I met John Paul II after Mass in his little private library, everyone just lined up, and he came to each one of us individually. And when I met Pope John Paul II, the impression he left upon me was that of a very holy parish priest, like I grew up with when I was a kid in Minnesota. And it wasn't like it was a disappointing experience, it was just so unexpected. He was a priest. That's the impression I got from meeting John Paul II. And then soon after that, of course, we finished. He finished greeting all of us, and then we left, and we went out into St. Peter's Square. And once we got back out into St. Peter's Square, there were the posters of John Paul, and he became bigger than life again, and, you know, all these advertisements. He's on the stamps that are published by the Vatican Postal Service. He's on coins. You can buy statues of him, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he wasn't accessible anymore. He became that bigger-than-life figure. And, you know, I think Jesus, in these readings today, it's something like that that he's trying to communicate to us as well. Because, you know, we might think this God of ours is so grand and powerful, he created the entire cosmos, that he wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. What am I? I'm a speck of dust in this cosmos making my way through space and time. He created it all. He's so great. He's grand. And he doesn't know me. I don't matter to him. And see, you know, that's what Jesus is trying to do, is counter that in today's readings. I think we would be amazed, and maybe some of you have already come to know Jesus well enough to know how lowly he is. He is the human face of the God who created this entire cosmos. And when you get to know him, he's a humble carpenter from a backwoods town in Galilee. Now, I'm sure Texas has some backwoods towns. I mean, if you think of any one of them, I don't know the area quite as well, but I'm sure there's backwoods towns. That's where Jesus would have come from. not real impressive. But that is who he is. That's who he always is. I think we would be amazed, and maybe you've already been amazed. I know I have. I've been amazed at how lowly he is as I've come to know him. And he's coming to us from this altar in that same lowly condition. It's similar to the second reading today. We have not approached this massive fire on Mount Sinai. We have not approached Mount Sinai covered in smoke and thunder and lightning and a voice speaking to us that goes right through your existence and makes you shiver from the very grounds of your being, such that the people were so afraid they said, "Oh, don't let God speak to us again. You speak to us, Moses." Jesus is the Son of the living God. There's no question about that. He is the Son of the living God. He created this entire cosmos. The power that takes, tremendously powerful. But he doesn't wear his power like men and women in the world wear power. I mean, he said it to the apostles. He said, the Gentiles among you make their authority felt. They come on the scene. I name drop, or maybe I want you to know who's on the scene right now. I'm pretty important. Don't mess with me. They make themselves felt. They're trying to leave an impression. They're trying to impress you with who they are. That's what worldly power does. It makes itself known and felt. And Jesus said, it's not to be like that with you. It's not to be like that with you. And it isn't like that with him, because he doesn't wear his power the way worldly people wear power. That's not what he does. He doesn't operate that way. And as a result of that, what a lot of people conclude is, well, then he's irrelevant to anything in my life. I mean, if he can't move mountains and blow things up and intimidate people and bully them and push them out of my way as I'm making my way through life, then what good is he? I don't want this God. And then you start to meet this lowly carpenter from Galilee, and it's like, really? This is a joke. Yeah, really. It's him. That's what he's chosen to do, because he doesn't want to intimidate us. He doesn't want to bully us. He doesn't want to manipulate us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us running away from him out of fear from his power, or we're so afraid of what might happen to us if we cross him. He doesn't want that. So he's not coming at us the way powerful men and women in the world come at us. He's lowly. He's humble before truth. That's Jesus. And you know, the Blessed Mother isn't far behind. I think we forget this humble origin of the Holy Family. You know, Mary probably went to sleep some nights with hunger pains because she was so poor. And we say, well, her son was the Son of the living God. Surely he could have fed her and just popped food. That's not how he works. Well, he did it once. He fed 5,000. I'm sure Mary was in the crowd. She got some food that night. Yeah, he did do it. He did it a couple of times, the miracle of the loaves. Other than that, you know, Mary, I'm sure she had to have gone to sleep many nights on an empty stomach. She was poor. And, you know, it's amazing how when she appears to people, she appears to these little insignificant kids. that are dirt poor. These are her people. That's how they are. This is who they are. Because they're not out to intimidate. They want a relationship. This is what Christ is coming to you from this altar to forge. He's coming in love. See, love wants to unite with the beloved. And not like preside over them and control them and manipulate and force and bully and all this stuff. No, this isn't him. This isn't him. Well, then, I want nothing to do with him. If he can't clear my way as I make my way through life and fill my pockets with money, what good is he? He's got other riches. He does. He's got other riches. And they start with the greatest rich wealth that he has, and that's the gift of himself, and that's love. God is love, and love doesn't bully. Love doesn't intimidate. Love doesn't try to dominate. Love doesn't pulverize. Love doesn't make itself felt. It's love is patient. Love is kind. You know, that whole 1 Corinthians 13. There it is. That's God. He's coming into our lives because he wants a relationship. And we write him off. But see, that means we're forsaking the way into the kingdom. That's what these readings are saying to us. And now this could really be good news, though, because, you know, kind of like after I left that mass with John Paul II, I went out and his picture was all over the place, and I didn't feel I had access to that bigger-than-life figure. He was just this international traveler, Holy Father. What relationship does he have to me? He's so big. We might think that when it comes to our relationship with the living God, until you recognize the human face of God himself in Jesus Christ, who comes to you so simple, lowly, and humble, that if he was working in Tarrant County, he'd probably be in a shop somewhere that no one frequented because it was so poor. He probably wouldn't even be working in big box retail. And we'd be driving by all day. There he is, the Son of the Living God. Brothers and sisters, when your alarm goes off tomorrow morning, Jesus is there. You say, well, what does he have to do with me? He's lowly. He's humble. He wants to be in your life. He's there at the beginning of your day when your alarm goes off. Well, what could he possibly want to do with me? Be with you for your day? Could I tag along? Could I tag along for the day? Maybe even take the lead sometimes when you get into trouble? How about that? Will you take my hand and let me lead you? How about that? Imagine that. The God who created this entire cosmos. I mean, we forget that. There's so much power there, yes, but he's not wielding or wearing his power the way worldly people wear power. This is not a Joseph Stalin we're meeting in the Eucharist. It's Jesus. A humble, lowly carpenter who's very accessible. And I mean, if you want an example of that, he says to his host, they was at dinner with today, he says, you know, when you hold a dinner, don't just invite the wealthy friends you have and those that can pay you back. Head out instead and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. I mean, when you came in this church today, I don't recall us having you fill out a form to check what your annual income is. I don't think there's any requirement in terms of your social status or lack of it or whatever it might be to come to this table, this banquet table at which Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, presides. I am a sacrament of him. He presides here. This is his banquet table. Young, old, everyone, get him in here. That's how he is. And this is a great reminder, because this is really good news. This is good news. It doesn't, you know, if you're a Marxist, maybe the wealthy, you might as well just, they're all bad people, the wealthy ones. If you're a Marxist, wealthy people are bad. All right, this is not Marxism. You can be wealthy and get into the kingdom if you're full of love. There's the key. And the fact that you're poor doesn't mean you're getting in automatically either. It's love. It's a relationship with the living God. That's what makes the difference. How's that going? How's your love life going? It's kind of maybe a third down the line of what's important to me. I'm after other things right now, Father Dan. Well, then you're not meeting our Lord. And I don't care if you're rich, poor, or middle class, upper, lower, middle, it doesn't matter. This is the kind of wealth our God trades in. Love. If there's someone bullying, they didn't learn that from Christ. Is there someone manipulating? They didn't learn that from Christ. Are there people out there that are toxic? Their spirit is diseased. It's in need of medicine, and Jesus is that medicine. He can relieve us of toxicity. This is who he is. And this is accessible to everyone. So, brothers and sisters, let us take that to heart today and recognize, yeah, maybe you might think, well, he doesn't have anything to do with me. He's going to be at your alarm clock tomorrow morning. He will be there. I assure you. Because you matter to him. Could we just maybe turn long enough to say, you know what? You matter to me too. Because that's all he wants.